Hey, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Welcome to Church on the Rock. Welcome if you're in the room, and welcome especially if you are online. A little special shout out to my man Joe, who said, "I'm watching live this morning." I'll talk about you more in just a second, but we already miss you and your family. But as Pastor Aldrich mentioned, we're going to start a brand new series today. We're calling it Beyond These Walls, Beyond These Walls. We're going to talk a little bit more about what that means here in just a moment. But again, I just want to welcome you. If you're our guest, you wouldn't know this, but if you're a part of this church family, you would probably already recognize that a lot of things are different this morning as to our kind of normal and the way things happen. And here's what I'm going to say to you, like, prepare for different, okay? Prepare for different, because a lot of things are changing around Church on the Rock. As many of you know, we are just weeks away from the official soft launch of our expansion. We only have three more Sundays meeting together in this room, everybody. That is a little crazy. It's a little exciting. So change is upon us. And I remember years ago when we moved as a church for the first time, we moved from one service to two. And that was a big, big deal for us. I mean, eventually we were doing multiple services, but in this one era, it was the first time we'd ever made that expansion. And I sort of coined a phrase that I want to just say to you this morning, and it's this, that this is what I was saying to people. I was saying, hey, everybody, listen, if it looks different and it feels different, that's because it is different. And I want to prepare you for that, because as we get ready to expand into St. Augustine High School here in just a few weeks, this room will turn into a kids' room, so it won't even look like this. It's going to be loaded full of color and noise and amazing little people that we are pouring into in order to become the future of the church. Come on, as we know, like, that's our future, and so we're making room for them. I'm excited about that, and then we're making room for ourselves, but I want to prepare you that if it looks different and if it feels different, that's because it is different. And I know some people love change, they need new hairstyles, and they need new kitchens, and they need new cars, and that's cool. But sometimes people don't like change when it's forced on them, and so there's a lot of change that you're not choosing right now. But I just want to encourage you to be patient with us, walk with us through this transition, as we will be changing in order to fulfill our mission as a church. Everybody, we are on mission, and we are preparing to follow God's call, his heart, his design, so that we can reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. Amen, everybody? Amen. So a couple things that I'm going to say is this. I'm going to make an announcement. You ready for the announcement? It'll be on the screen behind me. Is that on March 27th, however many weeks away that is, I think we have three more Sundays here, and then it's March 27th, we will be transitioning. Everything will be changing. So this entire campus will turn into a kids' campus here, and then all the adults, we're going to be going next door into St. Augustine High School on March the 27th, and we will gather together at what time, everybody?
10
at 10 a.m. That is a change. That is different. So that's the time that we're going to be gathering together. And then just to put the parents at peace, so I'm going to give you another little, this to me is exciting and fun. But I'm thinking about moms and dads and people that are going to be on site, and they're like, well, my goodness, my kids are going to be here, and then I'm going to have to go over there. Moms and dads, you only have to park one time. So if you are going to be checking in your children to any of our kids' rooms, you will park in this current parking lot that you park in right now. You can park your car one time. You can come up to the building. You can check your kids into our safe and secure kids' rooms with our amazing kids' team leaders. And then you can go get on the Church on the Rock trolley, and you can hitch a ride from this campus to the next campus. Okay, so be looking for that on March the 27th. We're going to give you a ride. And then when service is over next door, you just get right back on that trolley. We're going to ride you right back over here. And then you can get your kids, your family, you go get into your car. Sound good, everybody? It's a lot of change. I'm excited about the trolleys. I might just ride it around, even though I have no need to. But they look awesome. We have an incredible team of people that are making that happen. And so anyway, it's going to be fun. A lot of changes, but I'm excited about it. So get ready. Good things are about to happen. Amen. All right, y'all ready to get into God's word today? All right, can I just pray? I know that we've prayed a few times this morning, but I would love to just go before God in prayer. So, Father, I just love you and thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that I have to share your word. And I just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that your presence, your spirit would go before me. I pray in Jesus' name that the words that I share today would not be words from my own thinking, God, that they wouldn't be just words out of my own head, but they would be words articulated from the truth and the power of your word, Lord Jesus. We do not need the opinions of a preacher. We need the power of your truth. And so I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that our ears would be receptive to what the Spirit would be saying to the church this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So some things are different today by design and some are different by default, but I'm going to encourage you guys, if you would, how many of you guys own a Bible? You own one, like a paper one. I'm going to encourage you next Sunday to bring it with you. Bring your Bible to church. Think about that for a second. I'm going to encourage you to bring your Bible to church next Sunday. If you are a person that's like, look, I'm very digital. Digital's my flow and my preference. Then bring your tablet, bring your phone. But we're going to read a lot of scripture next week together, and I'm going to read it right out of this amazing book right here known as the Holy Bible. And so I just want to prepare you in advance, because oftentimes all the scriptures are on the screen, and so you can totally come to our church and see and hear and read the Word of God without even having a Bible in your possession, because we put it on the screens. But next week, I want you to have your Bible, all right? So make that note. Will you do that? Bring it with you, and we're going to talk about it. So we're starting a brand new series today. Brand new series. It's going to last. It's the longest series we've ever done at Church on the Rock. It's weeks and weeks. I'm not even going to tell you when it ends, because I'm not sure I exactly know. But it is going to last for several weeks. And it's a series that we've been calling Beyond These Walls, or that we're going to call. I guess internally we've been calling it. It's the first time you probably heard it, Beyond These Walls. The title, the idea came from Joe, who I know is tuning in online. He's an incredible team member, one of our staff members that through a series of changes and just events that altered in the life of his family, they had to move back to Connecticut. And so he is tuning in online and with us from afar. Bro, we miss you and your family already. Thank you so much for everything you gave and still give into this church. You're my dude. I love you, man. And so Joe, when we were talking about this expansion, when we were talking about what God was calling us to do as a church, he presented this idea that I think was very much Holy Spirit driven. And he said, man, I think we should put like a theme around this thing. And he presented this idea, Beyond These Walls. And I said, man, I really think that you're onto something. Because here's what I know, is that God has called the church, not just Church on the Rock, but the body of Christ at large, to a mission, everybody. He has called us to do something. So our calling and our goal, the point of our lives is not just to know Jesus. Like, that is the big idea, is that we are in a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. But once we step into that relationship and we cross the threshold of personal relationship with Christ Jesus, we've been given a mission. In fact, Jesus gave it to us in two different examples in the Gospels, Matthew 16 and Mark 16, Matthew 28, where in one case he said, I want you to go to the whole world and I want you to preach the gospel to everybody. And then another case, he said, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples of all nations. Baptize them and let them experience the power of God in their lives. And so we at Church on the Rock take that really, really personally. And so I say it this way all the time, that the church isn't a location or an address or a building. The church is us. It is a people. And so in the idea of this expansion, we're literally, I use that word so infrequently because of every middle schooler in America, but we are literally going to go beyond these walls. But once we get into St. Augustine High School, I want us to remember and understand that our mission is beyond these walls. And if one day in the future we get the privilege to move into our own permanent location that's adequate to serve the size of our church family, our mission still is to go beyond these walls. Amen. Amen. That's our mission. So it's not just about gathering together and having church together, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think everything has its place. In fact, I think that's a really good thing. The Bible is filled with examples of the body of Christ coming together. In fact, we're instructed biblically, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. Like, get together. But the reality is that we have a mission that goes beyond buildings. And I know that in Western church, and I know that in modern culture, that all your success and how good you're doing as a church is determined by size of room, amount of services, amount of gifts. Giving. What cool stuff is your church doing? What cutting edge things are you producing and giving out into the world? And again, I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm for all of those things. But the mission is the gospel of Jesus Christ being spread to people that don't know it, that don't believe it, that don't understand it. You can say amen right there, because that's truth. That's truth. And so we as a church have a heart that's like, man, God, we want to stay on your mission. We want to do what you are calling us to do. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to dig into John chapter 4. Now, if you are a Bible study person, if you're always looking for something else like to get into in the scripture, I'll just encourage you, just read John chapter 4 over and over. That's what I've been doing. It's been the place that God's really been speaking into my own life. It really became most alive to me during 21 days of prayer and fasting this year, where God began to just show me some things in John chapter 4. Now, I have an outline that I have put together for this entire series, and I had all these ideas of like message one would be about this and message two this, and I sort of outlined this thing out for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then God just began to change the direction of part one for me a few weeks ago. And so the entire beginning has altered. And we're going to get in that together today. Is that okay? And so what we're going to do is I'm going to be teaching you, at least for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be teaching you in a method that's called expository teaching. Okay? There's really two kinds of preaching that you will hear from preachers. One is expository. And here's what that means. That means I'm going to just look right into the Bible and I'm going to draw my teaching points from the actual text that we are reading. The other model would be topical, which means we're going to talk about a topic. Like, for example, last month we talked about relationships. And what we did is we went and we sought out God's word to hear what does the Bible say about relationships. Both are fine. Both are really, really good. But let me say this, and this is just extra, and I don't even know if I have time for it, but just for those of you that's like, man, I'm just trying to grow in my faith, both are really good, both are fine. I use both, but here's the biggest idea, is that no matter which, if it's topical or if it's expository, it has to be founded on the Bible. So we do not manipulate the Bible to fit what we want. We modify ourselves to fit what the Bible says. Amen. I just think that's important for us to understand, especially because where we draw from matters, right? And so if you are listening to preachers, the Bible warns about false prophets. The Bible warns about people that aren't teaching the truth. The Bible warns about people that only want to be, they only want, like, say the stuff that makes me feel good. I'm giving you paraphrased versions of the Bible. The Bible calls it itching ears. Like, just satisfy me. That's what I want. But the Word of God sometimes pierces deep to places that force change. So I'm just giving you that nugget so that when you're listening to different preachers, that you're making sure that they are speaking the truth of Scripture and nothing else. Amen. And then give those guys grace. No preacher is perfect. Amen. We all say stupid things, and we all wish that, you know, 10 years ago I was not as deep in my understanding of Scripture as I am today. And if I was to watch a playback of a message from 10 years ago, I'd probably want to throw tomatoes at the screen, right? Like, it is what it is. Anyway, all that had nothing to do with today's message. But I want to start, it's just to help you. I want to start in John chapter 4. I'm going to read a verse here. Some of my verses are going to be on the screen behind me, not necessarily all of them. But John chapter 4, this is Jesus speaking. And I'm not going to give you context today. Next week, we're going to dig all into the context of this. But I just want you to see this one line that Jesus says, "You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest." So apparently in this era, that was like a thing. People said farming obviously was a major, major deal. And so apparently there's this saying, 4 months until harvest. And he's like, and you know that. But I say, and notice his language, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe with harvest. And that's where the idea of this series really is built. Why would Church on the Rock do a radical thing, like go from a permanent place to a portable place? Why would we do something this unknown, quite frankly, in the hopes that it extends our mission? It's because we believe that there is a harvest that is ripe right now. Like, people are moving into our community at one of the fastest paces in the nation. I look around at culture, we look around at our friends, we look around in the cul-de-sacs and the gym and our places of work and business and all these things, and we just see, we look at the news and we just look around us and we just see that the world needs the light of the gospel. Amen. And so the heart of our church is that, man, let's just do whatever it takes to go get that harvest, right? Let's do it. Let's do it. And I'll talk about this again in the future of this series. I'll talk about this more in detail. We're going to talk about the work of harvest, and we're going to talk about the context of this scripture, and we're going to look at some amazing things about Jesus and the context of this story and the things that he's just been showing me that I think are powerful for our church. But today, we're going to slow down. We're just going to, like, take a step back because I felt very pressed prompted by the Holy Spirit to share this particular message with you today. So if you're a part of our church and you're around, you would know this, that I have this thing that I say because I believe it. And here's what I say. I say, if God is going to do a good thing in our church, that means, and you can help me if you know it, that God is going to do a good thing in you because you are the church. The church isn't this building or these addresses. This is why we have to think beyond these walls. This is why. We can't think about it as an institution. We have to think about it as a people that are moving with God. This is why we're not competing with other churches. This is why if people say, hey, I feel like God's calling me to this church. Great, man, as far as I'm concerned, if Jesus is at the center and they're proclaiming the gospel, we're all on the same team. And so, but because of this understanding that we are fighting to maintain as a church, not to get caught up in culture and not to get caught up in the wrong things, but like, man, we need to make sure that we are going to have an understanding that it's beyond these walls. What we know is that if God's going to do a good thing in our church, then that means God is going to do a good thing in you. But some weeks ago, I had this sobering, saddening realization that I thought, oh man, I got to talk about this. And here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Because this might not be like the grow your church type of sermon by numbers, but I think it's the grow your church type of sermon by roots. Because if Satan is going to attack the church, that means he's going to attack you. Because you're the church. And understand in the context that I'm saying, I'm including myself. We, okay, are the church. I'm just being directive so that it becomes personal to you. But we have to understand this. And I started to recognize some spiritual attack in my own life recently, which is what sort of woke me up to it. Like, oh yeah, I don't think that the body of Christ can just go do stuff for God and Satan just roll over and quit. That's never how it's worked. Ever. And so I would hate to lead change in our church without talking about the realities of what change brings. Because if we're going to unify to go get a harvest, then the enemy's going to do everything he can do to bring disunity, friction, frustration. I don't like change. I don't like this. I like the way that it was. And then create problems within us. So if he's going to attack the move of our church, he's going to attack us. And so can we talk about that today? I want to dig into it. And so I'm going to read. I don't think this one's going to be on the screen for you, but in layers, it will in a moment. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5. You can note this if you're a note taker, and it's in your note handouts if you're in the room. Link in the description if you're online. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. And the Bible says this, "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God." I love this part because he cares about what happens to you. Verse 8, stay alert, the Bible says. These next two words are the title of my message. Watch out. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family, that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of, listen to this word, suffering you are. I actually really appreciate that because I know this, that when I have attack going on, when I feel like I'm suffering, when I've got problems in my own life, somehow I feel like I'm the only one. Yeah. And I love that the Bible's like, yeah, don't be crazy. Don't get your mind. That's just a lie. The whole body of Christ experiences the pushback, the spiritual attacks of the enemy because, man, this is truth that we need to hear. Heaven and hell are both real. God is real. Satan, real. And so if I'm going to walk this life of faith and have a naive belief that because I follow Jesus, because I go to church, because I serve, because I am in a life group, I completed all three steps of All Access, and they were easy. Step one is today. And I did that. That means that God is going to do good things for me, good things to me, good things in me. Everything's going to work out. I'm going to get a front row spot. I'm going to get promoted. I'm going to get the prettiest girl. I'm going to have the best dog. Like somehow there are some of us that buy into, because I'm giving to God, God is going to give to me, which is true, but it doesn't mean that because I'm following God that everything's always going to work out and everything's always going to be easy. And so I'm the type of coach that's like, look, let's talk about the real things that we're going to face and the real things that followers of Christ are going to face are adversity and attack from our enemy, who's real. Some of you know this. You're like, no, I know. Like, I know, because I'll listen and I'll hear people say, like, man, I'm really in a spiritual battle right now. Like, that means you have an awareness that this is spiritual. But I also recognize that other people, it's like they don't even know. And somebody's got to tell them. Figured it might as well be me today. So I want to get into it, and I'm going to give you 3 points this morning. Again, I'm going to draw these points right out of the text, the 1 Peter chapter 5. And the first one is this. You could write this down if you're a note taker. But the idea is this, like, how then, what do I do in spiritual warfare? How do I win, maybe? And the first one is this, be humble. Be humble. It's a big deal. Because pride creeps in on us all. Nobody's immune to pridefulness. And the Bible says that God resists the proud. He's just not digging that. But notice 1 Peter, verse 6, it says, so, watch these words, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. And I'd like to expand a little bit here, because I find these words all throughout Scripture, and I can't say I like it. I'd rather it didn't tell me to do it. But at 39 years old and had some experience in life, been through some things, I've discovered a reality, a truth, that I can either humble myself or be humbled by life. Neither of which I enjoy, but one is better. And the Bible says over and over and over to humble ourselves. And where does it say to humble ourselves? Under God's mighty power. I think that's important. To humble ourselves under the mighty power of God. And then in due time, he'll honor you. He'll bring those blessings to you. He'll do things for you that you couldn't ever do for yourself. Things that you'll say, unexplainable. Without God, no way possible. Without God, I wouldn't have survived that season. I wouldn't have survived that attack. Without God, I wouldn't have this life or these possessions or this influence or this wife or like whatever it might be. I wouldn't have started this business. I wouldn't have worked for this employee. I wouldn't have gotten this promotion. Whatever the case may be, I wouldn't have had the chance to witness to this person. And if it wasn't for me being willing to humble myself before the Lord. And I would just want to submit to us this morning that humbling ourselves, I believe, is not necessarily a matter of self-deprecation or just being gentle or being kind all the time. And I'm very humble, always going last. I mean, those are all good things. Maybe self-deprecation, a little teetery there. Anyway, it depends on your personality, perhaps. I won't get into that. But I would submit that humbling ourselves is an act of obedience before the Lord. To follow His leading in my life when I think I know better. When I know I prefer different. I believe that's humility. To say, I don't understand, I don't like it, I'd rather it some other way, but Father God, I trust You. And I will humble myself. I'll say no to this. I will distance from that. I will obediently do this, or whatever the case may be. But it begins with self-humility, to get before the Lord and simply say, God, what is it that You want from me? And what is it that You're asking of me? Because I'm telling you, to walk with God requires humility. It just does. But there's something about humility. It's like God cannot resist it. And when God sees us, honor Him by saying, okay, I see you. I see you being obedient. I see you refraining. I see you doing. I see whatever it is, whatever humbling yourself in this season of your life looks like before God, there's something that happens as a result of that that we receive. It's like we've postured ourselves to receive His power. And I'm just going to tell you something. If we're going to make it in this life of faith, we ain't going to make it without that. That's why we have the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because he empowers us to do what the Father would call us to do. This is why spiritual giftings are a thing in the body of Christ. That means it's not that I have that as a talent. It's not that it's my natural aptitude. It's that I was gifted by the Spirit of the living God to do things I couldn't otherwise do. I don't think I could pastor a church if I wasn't gifted by God to do it. I'm not that smart, just telling you. That's not self-deprecation. That's honesty. But I am a student, and I learn, and I lean in. And there are times that God says, all right, I need you to humble yourself. I need you to take this step. I need you to lead this way. I need you to say no. I need you to say yes. And when we do these things, we present ourselves under the power of God so that we are empowered to walk victoriously with him. Amen. Number two, if you're a note taker, is that we're going to stay alert. First thing I'm going to do is just humbly follow God. I'm going to obediently and humbly follow you, Lord Jesus. You can use obedience as a synonym in this case to humility. And the second thing I'm going to do is stay alert. My football coaches used to say, hey, put your head on a swivel. Put your head on a swivel. In other words, look around. Look around you, because someone wants to put the crown of their helmet in your ear hole, which was legal when I played football. I'm old. But there's this reality. Stay alert. Look what verse 8 says. Stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, the devil. I just thank you for not leaving that up to my interpretation, dear Jesus. Thank you that I know that the devil is attacking my life. He prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's looking for someone to devour, destroy. Satan also has a purpose, and the Bible says it is to kill, steal, and destroy. And I believe we've probably all experienced all of those things. Something stolen from us. A dream that got messed up. A relationship that's in turmoil. Why? Because we have an enemy. He's just looking, who's going to let me? Who's going to let me in there? Who's having me come? And so today's warning, stay alert, is this. It's not to say, hey, be careful so you don't get attacked. It's, hey, put your head up when you do. Because, like, it's coming. I know. It's not an amen-y type of thing. I get that. You totally have my grace here. You really do. Because it's not the kind of thing that we just want to be like, amen, preacher, Satan's going to attack my life. Woo! No. Right? But shouldn't we know what we're in for? I mean, if we were in the locker room and we were about to take the field and I knew there was a certain type of adversity that you were going to face, I just feel like the best coach would say, hey, there's a certain type of adversity you're about to face. Like, and I personally appreciate that. Like, I like people that sort of tell me what to expect. You know what I mean? Don't tell me you're going to be there in 15 minutes if it's 45. I mean, we might need to start in 30, but if it's 45, just tell me now. Don't, you understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to be that guy. I don't know if I'm helping at all, actually. Maybe I should talk less about me and more about the Bible. My point is that I want us as a church, as a family, as a body of believers, to, for some of us, I'm going to use Jesus' words from John 4, we need to wake up and look around. This is spiritual. It's spiritual. And so what's going to start to happen is, once we get attacked, is we're going to start to recognize the spiritual attack in our natural lives. All of a sudden, the car broke again. I can't believe she said that to me today, right? Or why is my boss a jerk again? Like, what we'll start to see is the spiritual implications start taking place in our natural lives. All of a sudden, like, why aren't we synced up, man? We seem to always be running in tandem, and all of a sudden, like, what's going on with you? Or whatever. And if we don't have our head, like, wake up, look around. It is spiritual, everybody. It's a spiritual attack. And Satan would love to create disunity and friction, frustration. He'd love to get you back into a mind of depression. He'd love to pull you back into an old habit. He'd love to get you down on yourself again. He'd love to get you frustrated again about the thing that used to frustrate you then, and you thought the church fixed it, but now they're going to do that, right? It's that stuff. It's that stuff that the enemy will use to come against our lives, to create friction and tension in our lives. Why? Because he's just looking for somebody to devour. So what are we going to do? Hey, we're going to just walk humbly before God. We're going to stay alert, head on a swivel. I know it's coming, so let me be prepared for it. And then number three, and I hope this gives you hope, is we're going to stand firm. Stand firm. And I love the scripture. We're just drawing it right out of the text. Verse 9, the Bible says, stand firm against him. So it's just identified our enemy, the devil. Look out for him, because he's roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, stand firm against him. Watch this. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your faith. Years ago, I heard this statement, and I've kind of adopted it and repeated it, and I've heard other people say it, is that as followers of Christ Jesus, I do not have to fight for victory, I just have to fight from victory. But I have to fight. Like, ultimately, and let me explain that, let me give context to that, because it could confuse you, I think. Ultimately, as a follower of Jesus, I'm victorious. You can take everything I've got, destroy every relationship I've ever had, you can torture me to death, and I would look like the loser. But ultimately, I'm going to rest with Christ Jesus, because the victory for my soul has been won. Amen. So, in our, again, and I feel like I'm rabbit trailing here, but like in our Western church mindsets, sometimes we equate blessings to God's favor, when in other parts of the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ don't have anything but the threat of their life on them for following Jesus. And somehow we think because we had to buy, let me use a different example because the car broke and it cost me more money out of my savings that I didn't want to spend because it's going to impact my vacation. And I'm not trying to minimize our real lives, because I hate when that happens. But don't equate that stuff to like, oh, God must not. No. It's just the attack of the enemy. It's just a spiritual attack. And so ultimately, I fight from victory, because no matter what you do to me, I cannot lose. But in the context of your life, when you're budgeting and you're having to think about every dollar, and you always wear the pressure of the financial burden, and you always have to, come on, is the spreadsheet accurate? Can I get like gas is $100 a gallon? Are we going to make it? Like, right? That's real. That's real. And so when the car breaks, and all of a sudden, like in your context, that's a real fight. And so I don't even want to diminish it, like get over it. I don't even think that would be compassionate, because I would be the first one to want to, you know, throw a hammer if I had to fix the car again. I don't even know if I'm making sense right now. So in this context of your world, the enemy's going to come at you with the things that affect you. Some of you aren't worried about money, not because you have a bunch of it, but because you just have total faith. Like, yeah, it's no big deal. I'm good. God will make a way. It's all good. But if he was to interrupt your relationships, that's what would get you. You can stand strong under his attacks on you, but mess with my team? So this warfare comes. It comes. And why? Why would it come? Because the enemy is just looking for, who can I devour? And I just believe that those that are proud, those that are unaware, and those that do not stand firm are the ones he gets. And then what happens is, when God is doing a move in a community like this one, and there's a straggler that's just sort of away from the group, and like the enemy's like, oh, that's the one. And here's what happens is, all of a sudden God's doing something in a people, but if one or two or five or 10 get devoured by the enemy, and all of a sudden it affects their entire life. But listen, it affects the life of the church. Right? Because, like, I don't want to make any bones about it. We need you. We don't need you so that we have good attendance. We need you because of what you bring to the family of God. That's what we need. We need your story. We need your experiences. We need your testimony. We need your gifts. We need your spiritual empowerments from the Holy Spirit. This is what makes the body of Christ function. And if we're not aware or prepared to stand humbly and alert before God, then we fall off of what God's trying to do in our lives. I'm going to finish here. This, I don't think, is on the screen either. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, this is how I want to close. The Bible says this, finally, which is what some of you guys are thinking about this message right now. Finally. we're almost done. Finally, dear brothers and sisters. So he's talking to those in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask you to pray for us. Pray, watch what the prayer is for. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, beyond these walls, from here to there, from generation to generation, season to season, moment by moment. Pray that. We want it to be spreading rapidly wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Verse 2, pray too that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. Some of us know them. Don't elbow anybody right now. Amen. Watch, because not everybody's a believer, but the Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Now that is something that we could say amen to. I would hate to deliver a message and say, boy, that's Satan. He's going to get you. That's how the Southern preacher said it. We're a little north of that church. And so the encouragement is this, everybody, that yes, spiritual warfare is a thing. Spiritual attack is real. Put your head on a swivel. Be ready. Be alert. Listen, call it for what it is. When there's tension in the kitchen, hey, that night in the bedroom, hey, I know what's going on. All right, I see what Satan's trying to do in our marriage. And can we just pray together? Can we just call on God right now? When something's going on in your business, hey, I know what this is. I know what the enemy's trying to do, and I'm not going to be duped. I'm standing firm in the faith. Whatever it is, you have to apply it to your life. But the reality is that the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are victorious. We do win. We are soldiers in the winning army of Christ Jesus. And so this is not a message to make us be fearful. It's a message to make us be bold. Amen. Just say, hey, it's an awareness. I just need to be aware. And now that I'm aware, now I know what to stand for. So I'm going to walk humbly. I'm going to stay alert. I'm going to stand firm. Let's pray together. If everybody would bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to close here. I want to offer salvation to those who may not be in a personal relationship with Christ, whether you're in this room or you're tuning in online. When I say offer salvation, that is a gift that is offered to you by God. I'm just making you aware that it's there. And so if you're in this room, listening, watching this message, maybe the Holy Spirit of God has just been doing something inside of you. Maybe there's an awareness, an awakening that you're recognizing, man, there's something going on. Maybe this is more spiritual than I even thought. I just want to invite you into the family of God, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the only way that you can know God. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to my Father except through me. And so if that's you, I'm going to invite you to do one thing this morning, just one, and that is to repeat a prayer after me. And so church family, those in the room, you know how we do it. I always ask everybody to say it out loud because I want you, if you're saying it for the first time, to really be able to say it with boldness and with confidence. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Church, thank you for your attention.